I'll be interviewing David Lawson, and he has a testimony that he's going to share with you, and we're just going to have, it'll be an informal, just two of us sitting up here talking, and you may laugh, you may cry, but he's got a story that I believe will touch your heart. And if you have anybody that's in your family that is needing to see God's love and compassion, then you need to bring them next Sunday, because you will see that through his testimony. And then on Mother's Day, in 2 weeks, we're going to have a special service around here. We'll have gift baskets that we'll give away, and then we'll have a gift for every lady that comes in attendance. And so make plans to be with us in service, and so it's going to be a great time the next couple weeks. But this Wednesday night, we are having a block party, and we're inviting everybody to come, and we have some invites up here. There's also some, I believe, in the back. And if you could take these and just put them on your neighbor's door, or if you just know somebody, you just want to hand it to them, all the information's on there. We're going to have free hamburgers and hot dogs. This is going to be a great time. And so make plans to be with us in service. Be here. That's this Wednesday. And we're going to start a little bit earlier than normal. We normally start at 7 on Wednesdays. We're going to bump it up to 6. And it's going to be about a 2-hour deal, and the Royal Rangers Girls Ministries are going to present, and it's just going to be a great time for family. And I've gotten some frisbees that on the front, it's got a little ABC type deal of salvation on the front of it. We'll be flinging those out to any kids that may come, and so it's just going to be a good time. And so make plans to be here, and if you want, and you want to hand out some, put some of these on the doors in the neighborhood, just come see me after service, and that way I know where you're going, so I'll know where I need to go. And so it's going to be a great time, and make plans to join us. Today we're concluding our series that we started a couple weeks ago on called Family Vacation, and last week we talked about discipline, and discipline is no good if we as parents don't practice what we preach to our kids. Amen? We can discipline our kids and we can tell our kids don't do something all day long, but if we're not actually practicing what we're telling them, then what good is it, right? And so that's kind of where we're looking at today as we conclude this series. We're going to look at discipleship. And the best discipleship is modeled at home. The best discipleship is modeled at home. And when we look at what the scriptures tell us, we need to remember that God tells us to teach our children the ways of the Lord. And as a matter of fact, he doesn't just tell us that, but he commands us. And as parents, if we're not discipling our kids, then we're not doing the job that God is calling us to do. Amen? You know, there's one thing that the Jewish people make a part of their daily lives, and it's known as the Shema. And I'm probably not saying this correctly. It's spelled Shema. The Shema is the most fundamental expression of the Jewish faith. And we actually talked about this a couple of Wednesday nights ago. And if you have your Bibles, it's found in Deuteronomy chapter 6. And I want to look at verse 4, and we'll read through verse 9 here. But Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 4 says, "Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one." Now, the first word of this verse is telling the people, you better listen up. That's what he's telling them. You better listen up. This is something important that I'm about to tell you. Don't shut me out. Listen carefully. And then after he says that, after making them listen, Moses says what some people call the great confession. And he says this, "The Lord our God, the Lord is one. That's a pretty big confession, right? I mean, what Moses was telling them is there's no other God except for our God, except for Jehovah, except for Yahweh. The God that we serve, the God that we love, the God that delivered us out of Egypt, that is the God that we serve. There is no other God. There is no other gods that we can make, but he is God. And he makes that declaration. He wants them to know this is important. This is something that you need to understand and that you need to know. Now look at verse 5. He moves on down and farther. Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 5. He says, love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your strength. Now, verse 5 is known as the Great Commandment. Remember what Jesus said in Matthew. A lawyer was trying to trick Jesus by asking him, what is the greatest commandment? And Jesus responded by quoting this verse. Let's look at Matthew chapter 22 real quick, verses 36 to 38. It says, teacher, which is the greatest commandment in the law? They're talking to Jesus. And Jesus replied, love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind, is what Jesus told them. Verse 38, this is the first and greatest commandment. So in verse 4, the great confession is made, the Lord is one. Then in verse 5, the great commandment is made, love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength. Now let's read through to verse 9. Everybody still with me? Say amen. Do you love the Lord this morning? Amen. Verse 6, these commandments that I give you today are to be on your hearts. Impress them on your children. Talk about them when you sit at home and when you walk along the road, when you lie down and when you get up. Tie them as symbols on your hands and bind them on your foreheads. Write them on the door frames of your houses and on your gates. So, this commandment is so important for us to know that Jesus called it the first and greatest commandment. And this commandment is a complete heart devotion that bonds our covenant relationship with God. And not only is the individual to make this confession and to keep this commandment, but the family and the community are also to come under the governance of the covenant stipulations. Amen? And so that is why it is so important for us as parents, us as grandparents, to ingrain this commandment in our children. We must teach them to love God with all our heart, with all our soul, and with all our strength. Now, let's break each one of these down. First, the heart. Think about the heart. Everybody take your hand and put it over your heart. What do we do when we say the pledge? We put our hand over our heart, right? And we quote the pledge. Why? Because it's something great to us. The word heart here in the passage in the Hebrew is pronounced leb, L-E-B. It means the centre of things. The heart is in the center of the body. We refer to the middle of something by saying what? The heart of the matter, or the heart of the sea, or the heart of worship. We sang that song here today, the heart of worship, the center of worship. The heart can also refer to the man himself. The heart is the seat of the emotions and passions, even our appetites. When we talk about giving of ourselves to someone, we say what? I gave them my heart. The heart. There's something about the heart. When we talk about getting saved, we talk about what? Giving our heart to Jesus. When the heart stops beating, we die, right? The heart is at the center of everything that we do. The heart is naturally wicked. In the natural sense, it's wicked. It contaminates the whole life and character. Therefore, the heart must be changed and regenerated before a man can willingly obey God. Amen? Before you can obey God, you have to what? Change your heart. If your heart's not in it, then the rest of you's not in it, right? You ever done something? Well, they say, oh, you're just doing it half-heartedly. You ever heard that? Why? It's because your whole heart's not into it. If there was something that you really wanted to do, if there's something that you really like to do, what is it? You get excited about it. You want to be a part of it. You want, why? Because your whole heart is in it, right? Think about it. He says, you must love God with all of your heart. Because if we don't put our whole heart into it, we're not into it. And then he says, soul. Now think about the soul for a minute. The soul is the life force of the person and often refers to the whole being. It needs to be sustained in order for life to thrive. And it's the seat of desires, the emotions, the will. The soul can be intimate or in intimate relationship with God, or it can be under God's judgment. The soul is the entity that thinks, feels, acts, and desires. The soul can be connected to God and desire God's presence, but it can also have wicked desires and renounce God. The soul can receive deliverance, but can also receive God's wrath. You hear me? Understand this. When you die, it's your soul that leaves your body and goes into eternity. So he says what? Love the Lord your God with all of your heart, with all of your soul. You're getting the whole picture here. You're understanding this. Not just a part of you, not just a piece of you, but he's saying you have to love God with all of it, right? Now, let's move to the next one. The next one is strength. Strength is the inner resolve or the physical ability to accomplish an endeavor, influence an outcome, or prevail in a conflict. God is the main source of strength, with people being strong either for or against the Lord or his ways. So, your and I, our strength, think about this, it can lead to rebellion against God on account of a belief in human self-sufficiency. One of the problems that Samson had was he started depending on what? His own strength. He thought, man, I'm Samson. I'm unstoppable. I mean, he's like, look at me, right? I mean, he had the flowing, beautiful hair, you know. He was just probably this Greek, you know. Or, I don't know, he wasn't Greek, I know. But he's just this, you know, this Adonis-type person, you know. If he was probably around today, I mean, he would probably be maybe a bodybuilder or something, but he probably strutted around with a confidence like no other person, right? I mean, he was it. And he could do nothing wrong. Why? Because God gave him his strength, right? God said, don't ever let a razor touch his head. Because if a razor touches his head, he'll lose his strength like that. So what does Sam have to do? I mean, he walks around with the confidence, man. People come against him, he knocks them out. I mean, he takes them out, he kills them. He was killing Philistines left and right. Just, I mean, here he was. I mean, he was the strong man. And then what happened? You see, one of the problems with Samson was he didn't give his whole heart to God. He didn't give his whole soul to God. He didn't give his whole what? Strength to God. He was putting it in himself, right? Because he was saying, here I am, I'm Samson, right? I'm the man, you know. I'm the man. I'm strong. I don't need nobody's help. I don't need nobody to help me. And so he started getting that big head, thinking that, man, I can do anything I want to do. I can accomplish anything I want to accomplish. I can be anybody I want to be. And so what does he do? He falls in love with a prostitute named Delilah. And here she comes on the scene. And he starts talking to her. And she's like, come on, Samson, you know, what is the strength that you have? Well, that'd be an ugly woman if she talked like that, wouldn't it? But, you know, I mean, can you just imagine the strength that he had, and he's telling her, well, this is what it is. And so that she tries that, and you know, it doesn't work, and she tries something else and it doesn't work. You would think this guy would realize that she's coming after him after a while, right? But apparently the guy's body's bigger than his brain and he's not very smart. What do you think? And so he finally gives in and he tells her, look, if you a razor's not supposed to touch my hair. If you cut my hair, I'll lose my strength. So what does she do? She shaves that dude. She cuts it all off. Sure enough, they come in, they attack him, and it's gone. Why? Because he did not give his strength to the Lord, but he did it on his own ability. Moses says, love the Lord your God with all of your heart, with all of your soul, and with all of your strength. The strength of God is made known in creation and redemption and in his empowering of believers to live faithfully. Have you ever wondered why God used these three parts of the body when wanting his people to love him? Think about it for just a moment. If we give God our heart, our soul, and our strength, then we give God our everything. Think about it for just a moment. If we give God our heart, if we give God our soul, if we give God our strength, then we're saying, God, we're giving you our total being. We're giving you all of us. There's nothing more that we could give God other than we've given him all when we give him all these things. And he doesn't just stop there, but God doesn't just command us to do something, but he goes a step further. He wants us to what? Talk about it, right? He wants us to talk about it. He wants us to keep them on our hearts. He wants us to talk to our children about it. He wants us to talk about it at home. He wants us to talk about it when we are walking, when we are sitting, when we lie down, when we get up. He wants us to put it on our hands and our foreheads. He wants us to put it on our door frames of our houses and on our gates. Now, as a parent, if you don't know God's word, then how are you going to tell it to your kids? If you're going to talk about it, then you need to memorize it. You need to know what God's word says. You need to understand what God's word says. You see, these commands were so much a part of the Israelites' life that they would place written commandments in leather pouches, and then they would literally bind them on their arms and forehead with leather straps. They would also practice writing passages of scripture on a small piece of parchment that was rolled and inserted in a case, and it was affixed to the doors and the doorposts of their private homes. Now, that's where worshiping God came from. They would go from entering a relationship with God to living faithfully before him. They made it a part of their life. Now, how many of us do we listen to Christian music? Can we raise our hands? Do we listen to, you know, some Christian music? How many of us I like music, and I listen to it, you know, sometimes on the radio, sometimes I listen to talk radio. You know, it just depends on what I'm doing. Some people will say, hey, have you heard this song? And sometimes I've heard that song, and sometimes I haven't heard that song. But we like to listen to things we like to do. But that's part of a daily routine. When we have God's word upon our hearts, upon our lives, and we're going about our lives, and we're listening to music, and that's a part of worship. Now, it's not all centered around worship, centered around music. There are other ways that we can worship the Lord. We can just sit there and have a time of just peace and quiet. How many know sometimes that is just nice? Some people talk about meditation. Now, this is not what the world talks about meditation. This is what you and I talk about meditation. When we come before in God's presence and we meditate upon the Lord, what are we doing? We're thinking about the Lord. We're conversing with the Lord. We're giving him our attention, right? You don't have to listen to anything. You don't have to do anything. You just want to sit and be in God's presence. Can I tell you that sometimes it gets kind of noisy around here? And what I mean by noisy is there's nobody here and nothing happening, but this building creaks. And you can come in here and you can sit, especially if the wind's blowing outside, and you can hear every creak and everything happening. You're like, man, what is, you know, and it's almost like you're saying, you know, God, is that you? You know, because you just hear everything that's happening. And sometimes it's good. I like just coming in here and just sitting down and just saying, okay, Lord, what do you want to say to me? God, what is it you want to show me today? And it's important that we have those moments, those times. Maybe you have a place at home. Maybe you have a place in a backyard. Maybe you have a place that you've created where you can just go and get alone with God. Can I tell you, it's so important that you getting alone with God, or you conversing with God, or you spending time with God, doesn't have to be the same way that I get alone with God or converse with God or talk to God. You know, as believers, though, we don't understand worship always, right? Why? Because what do? We associate worship with things like of the Sunday services, like singing, praying, listening to a message. And these are not the whole of what worship is. Amen? Worship doesn't end here. When we leave here, when we leave from here, it doesn't end. You go out, you leave, you can continue worshiping God. You continue to talk about. Can I tell you that whenever you talk about the blessings of God and the things that God is doing in your life, the things that God's doing in your family's life, the things that God is doing, that is an act of worship. Here is the heart of worship. It's very simple. The heart of worship is the beholding and adoring of something. So we learn what God is like, right? We commit ourselves to Him, and then we teach our children to do the same. It's important that we understand who He is on our own. That's why we listen to service sermons. That's why we read our Bible. That's why we, you know, come to Bible study. We get involved in a Bible study, or maybe there's a teaching online that you like to hear. These are things that we listen to, that we make it a part of our life. That is an act of worship. Now, I'm not saying that you got to spend 24/7 listening to preaching, and we can't do that because we work and we go by. But you know that you can do it as unto the Lord. You follow me? In other words, when you're doing your job, you're doing it as unto Him. When you're at home and you're hanging out with your family, your kids, or what have you, you're doing it as unto what? Him. When you're in your garden at home and you're maybe, you know, messing with the vegetables, you're thanking the Lord for what He's given you and for what He's done. You're doing it as unto Him. You know, when birds are coming around your house and maybe you see creatures outside, you know what you do? You thank the Lord for all His goodness, and you thank the Lord for all His beauty. That is a way of worshiping Him. It doesn't always look the same for everybody. Is everybody with me? But part of worship is an act of giving ourselves to Him. So let me say this. We cannot leave the discipleship of our children and our grandchildren to the church alone. Can I say that again? You cannot leave the discipleship of your children and your grandchildren to the church alone. We have to show them the love that God has for us. We have to teach them why we love God so much. We have to teach them why we give. We have to teach them why we go to church. We have to teach them why we sing and why we pray and why we sing songs of praise. We have to teach our children why we have given our life to God, why we have loved God with all our heart and with all our soul and with all our strength. The kind of love that God wants from us, it's full time. Amen? God wants us to love Him full time. And we must love God under every circumstance. We don't just love God when the mood hits us just right. Well, I think I'm in a good mood today, and I think I'll just love God today. Tomorrow may be different. I may decide not to love Him tomorrow. That's not how it works. The day that we asked Jesus to come in our heart and we surrendered our life and we said, God, I give You what? All of my heart. I give You all of my soul. And I give You all of my strength. Why? Because when we asked Jesus to be the Lord of our life, we surrendered our life to Him, and we said, it's not mine, but it's His. And so I'm giving my life to Him. All that I have. That means that all my desires, all my wills, everything that I want to do, or I don't necessarily want to do, I put it in His hands and say, God, You guide me, You direct me, You show me what You want. Show me who You want me to be, God. Because that's what I want. And we must teach our children to love God in the same way. It's so important that we do this. It's so important that we do this. That as we have children and we are, God has given us the ability to raise them, we show them the love of God. You see, because here's the thing. Think back to whenever you got saved. Why did you get saved? Why did you want to ask Jesus to be the Lord of your life? What was the reasoning? Was there something that was hurting inside of you? Was there something that was missing down inside of you? And you decided that day, you know what? I don't want to live the way I've been living anymore. I want to make a change today. And the only thing I know that works is Jesus. And so you came to an altar and you said, Lord, I give You my life. You see, what you did when you came to that altar is you said, Lord, I am surrendering all my wills, desires, everything that I have to You. I no longer want to be in control of my life. I want You to be in control of my life. And that's what you did. You said, Lord, I want to love You with all of my heart, with all of my soul, and with all of my strength. I give it all to You. I lay it at Your feet, and I want You to guide me. I want You to direct me, and I want You to point the way for me. And if that's not how we are living our lives, then can we truly believe that we have completely surrendered our life to Him? Are we still trying to hang on to something? What are we trying to hang on to? Because whatever we're trying to hang on to, we need to put it aside and say, Lord, I'm bringing this to You too. God, I came 20 years ago and I left with something that I couldn't let go of. But God, today I want to give it to You. I want to surrender it to You. I'm tired of trying to make everything work on my own. God's sitting there saying, He's going, it's about time. He said, because I can do far greater with what You have than what You can, right? Think about who God is, how much He loves us, how much He cares for us, and what He wants for us. Amen? Amen. Let's pray. God, we just thank You. We thank You for Your power and for Your strength, for Your anointing, for Your love that You've shown us. And God, I ask that You would just come and move in our hearts. Move in our lives. God, we want to give it all to You. We want to lay it at Your feet. We want to surrender it all to You. Give it all to You. Put our trust and our faith in You. And God, if there's anything that we are holding back from You, holding back from giving complete and everything all to You, then God, we want to bring it to You today and give it to You today. Hallelujah, Lord. I want to give it all to You, Lord. I want to surrender my all to You. I want to give my all to You. I want to lay it at Your feet. I want to lay it at the altar right now and say, God, have total and complete control. If that's you today, is there something that's keeping you from giving it all to God? I'm not saying you're not saved. I'm not saying that you didn't ask Jesus to be the Lord of your life, but you're still hanging on to something, whatever it may be. Today is the day. to lay it at his feet and say, I'm no longer hanging on to anything else, but I'm giving it to you. I want to give my all my heart, all my soul, all my strength. I want to give my all to him today. If that's you, then I want you to find a place at these altars. I want you to find a place at these altars. I want to come and pray with you this morning. You're still hanging on to a piece, whatever it is. You're still hanging on to a part. It's time to look past the pride. It's time to look past of everything and say, God, I'm completely surrendering this all to you. Whatever it is you're trying to hang on to, release it today. If you're at home, if you're watching this right now, there's something right now that you're hanging on to. There's something that you're hanging on to that you need to release right now in Jesus' name and give it to him this morning. Give it to him right now. Let's pray all over this place. God, we worship you. God, we praise you right now. Lord, we want to give you our all, Lord God. Lord, we lay it at your feet, Lord God. Lord, we give it to you today, God. We surrender our all to you, Lord God. I praise you, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah, Lord God. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Can we sing this song? Can we sing this song? Hallelujah.
Over the mountains and the seas, your river runs with love for me. And I open up my heart and let the healer set me free. I'm happy to be in the truth, and I will daily lift my hand. For I will always sing of when your love came down. I could sing of your love forever. I could sing of your forever. I could sing of love forever. I could sing of your love. And oh, I feel like dancing. Foolishness, I know, yeah. But when the world has seen the light, they will dance with joy like we're dancing now. I could sing of your love forever. I could sing of your love forever. I could sing of your love forever. I could sing of your love. Over the mountains and the sea, your river runs with love for me. And I open up my heart and let the healer set me free.
Hallelujah. Can we just take a moment? Can we stand? And let's just lift our hands up right now. Just right where you're at. And let's just talk about the love of God. Just talk to God for a moment. And just tell him how much you love him. Maybe there's something that he's done in your life this week. Maybe there's something that he's done in your home this week. Maybe there's been a blessing that's come upon your life. I want you just to worship him just right where you're at. Just for a second. But God, we just love you, Lord. Lord, we sing of your love forever. God, it's your love that has given us, that you've come to us, and you've shown us some great love, God, and we love you, Lord. We honor you today, God. We praise you today, God. We magnify your name, oh God. We give you praise and glory and honor because you're King of Kings and Lord of Lords, God, and we just honor you today, God. And we glorify you today, God. We magnify your name today, God. God, I pray that at some point today, this week, God, we're going to go throughout our week. And God, we need to just walk in your presence, walk in your glory, and walk and just sing in your presence, Lord God. And maybe when we're at home or in our car or wherever we may be, God, that we can just spend time with you, God. Spend time in your presence, Lord God. Spend time talking to you, Lord God. Spend time singing to you, Lord God. Spend time worshiping you, Lord God. That we understand that when we gave you our all, we gave you all of us. Not just a part of us, but we gave you all of us, God. And we give you praise and we give you glory. We give you honor and we ask these things in Jesus' mighty name. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, Lord. We praise you, Lord. We praise you, Lord God. We magnify you today, God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, Lord Jesus, Lord God. We worship you, Lord. Lord, we worship you, Lord. We praise you, Lord. We praise you, Lord. Hallelujah, Lord. We honor you today, God. Oh, God, we praise you, Lord. We praise you, Lord. Hallelujah, Lord. We worship you, Lord. We praise you, Lord. We praise you, Lord. Hallelujah, Lord. We praise you, Lord. Lord, you're worthy of glory and honor. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, Lord Jesus. We praise you, Lord. Yes, Lord God, we worship you, Lord. Lord, we worship you, Lord. We praise you, Lord. Hallelujah, Lord Jesus, Lord God. Hallelujah, Lord God. We praise you, Lord.
Your river runs over me, and I open up my heart.
Yes.
Let the healer set me free.
Yes, hallelujah. Hallelujah. You can be seated for just a moment. I have some things that I want to share with you. Some of these things I've told you before. Some of them are new that's happening. There's been a lot of great things that have been happening in our church. Amen? God is doing some amazing things, and I want to express a big thank you to everyone that has been faithful in giving. You simply find a need, and you fill it. And this week, I have been overwhelmed with everyone's faithfulness and just the God is doing some amazing things. It's like he's reinventing our church and just doing some amazing things. But I want to give you some things that have happened. You know, several weeks ago, I told you about this. I think I did. Someone gave to the church a donation of $5,000 that we've been using to help remodel the stage and upgrade sound equipment. We've had several of you that have given amounts to this project as well, and thank you so much for your continued faithfulness. We're starting to see some things happening. We'll be doing some more stuff this week, and hopefully it won't be too much longer. Hopefully maybe by the end of May or June that we'll have the stage complete and ready to go. So thank you for your patience for this. Also, you gave and purchased yard sale items that helped the Royal Rangers raise $1,700 for their trip to Florida this summer. And that amount has actually gone a little bit over the 1,700. So thank you so much. Last year, you gave and purchased yard sale items, and it was enough that we are sending the kids and youth that signed up for camp. We were able to send all of them to camp this year for free. Amen. So I get to go and experience the presence of God at camp for free. So that's amazing. Thank you so much. And then just this week, someone donated enough flooring to put new floor in the fellowship hall. So we have that as well. So we're getting a new floor in our fellowship hall. And that's an amazing thing. God is blessing this church. He's using you to do it. And I want to say thank you, thank you, thank you for what you've done. Now, I need some help. Before we can lay the floor in the fellowship hall, we need to paint. And so we'll be setting up some time and some dates. If you would be interested or if you could help paint, if you could come see me after service, and that way I'll know who could help paint, we would appreciate any and everybody that could help. The more people we have, the faster we can get it done. And we're going to try to do it in the afternoon and try to get it knocked out so that we can start laying the floor. So please continue to listen to God that is speaking to you. God wants to bless his people. And I, for sure, and I'm sure you don't either, I don't want to miss out on a blessing. Amen? Amen. God is so good. Can we pray for the offering? And then we will be dismissed. Let's pray. God, we just thank you for this time that we can come together and be in your house. And God, every single week, I am amazed. I'm amazed by you, Lord. You're so wonderful. And you are just amazing. Not just for the fact that you saved me, God, but the blessings that you continue to pour out upon your people. And I truly believe something that I learned a long time ago is that no matter how much I try, I can't outgive you. Because the more I give, the more your people give, than the more you give. God, I thank you for the blessings. I thank you for your power. I thank you for your joy, your strength, and your love that you've shown me. And I thank you for all the blessings. And so, God, I pray for every person that gives today. I pray for blessings upon their families, upon their life, God, that as they have seen your faithfulness, God, they will continue to be faithful to you and give you praise and give you glory. We ask all these things in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Amen. As you leave today, please don't forget.